Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, beyond tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.
Broadcasting live from the R&R Studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, it's the premier destination for an inside look into the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor and Lincoln Kennedy, presented by Tequila Embajador.
Yeah, I've been through my fair share of stories in my time here, and I've learned to just kind of stay like this, you know, and try my best to stay there. Even through games, you know, I've seen so many games go like this and then boom at the end. Some of our seasons go like this and at the end, boom. And if we could just maintain this level of intensity, I think I loved it. I watched Nick Saban talk about this level of intensity that you have to bring every single day. He mentioned this recently. And I love that so much. And I'm just trying to stay there. You know, I'm not trying to get too excited. I'm not going to get down when it's hard, because every football game is hard. But I'm really just going to try and stay like this. But I think that our mindset is right and we're ready.
That was Raiders quarterback Derek Carr just a little while ago over at the practice facility in Henderson, talking about keeping it right there, not getting too high, not getting too low. Derek Carr has been there, done that, seen it all here in, not just Las Vegas, but going back to Oakland. And all the trials and tribulations of the Raiders, all the ups and downs, plenty of downs, way too many downs. Seasons that started out promising only to not end well, the last couple of years in particular. Games that did the same thing. And so as he approaches, and then the Raiders approach their season opener Monday night against the Baltimore Ravens over at Allegiant Stadium, which is not far from where I am sitting here right now with my partner Lincoln Kennedy at his restaurant, the Angry Crab Shack. Here in Henderson, and if you're nearby, come on by. Great location, great food. We're going to be watching the first game of the season, right? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers hosting the Dallas Cowboys on Thursday Night Football. So we've got you covered. Lincoln, by the way, you're in the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM on a festive season opening, NFL season opening Thursday. Lincoln, first of all, thank you, and congratulations on this beautiful restaurant.
Well, thank you. Thanks for coming out, and I'm glad we could do the show from here. It's good to be with you, as always, Vinny. And here's the thing. Now that the NFL has gone to this model of starting on Thursday night,
right?
If you're a player right now, you're racking your brain because you want to play.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to play. You want to play so bad it hurts.
Yes.
And you have to, like Derek said, you kind of have to control those emotions, because you can't get too pumped up.
Right.
You'll be exhausted by the time Monday gets
totally
here. You can't sleep on it, because then all of a sudden you're trying to turn it on like a light switch. It doesn't work there. So you have got to be in great control of your emotions. And veterans sometimes are able to do it, but it's the young guys that I worry about mostly.
And that's the thing, yeah. Lincoln, is that on a football team, at any given time, you got 53 players.
Yep.
And so that's 53 different mindsets, 53 different emotional states, 53 different nerve states that everybody has to manage. Everyone manages it a little bit differently. But I think it's probably good that the quarterback, at least, is kind of staying right here, especially after everything that he's been through.
Yeah, and when you think about this team, the dynamic of the team, everyone looks up and respects Derek.
Yeah.
So they're going to go to him for that. Hey, man, you know, what should I do? What can I do? And Derek's a good guy.
Yeah.
So I mean, he'll steer them right. I don't have a doubt in that. It's just that it's chaotic for the nation to have to wait the entire weekend to open up that beautiful stadium again for real.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And take on you. And it's not even Monday morning. It's Monday night. Before you get a chance to do it. So Friday, you know, you've got the game starting tonight between the Cowboys and the Buccaneers. Then you've got, first Thursday. Then you've got Friday, which is usually dedicated to high school football. But there'll be some college games on.
Yes,
college
absolutely.
Is all day Saturday, obviously. And then the Sunday is the pro day. And you got to watch all the pros. They'll be watching their next opponent, obviously, the Steelers and everything else, focusing. And then Monday.
And then you got to wait on Monday. And I guess the good news is on Monday, and I know you've been in this situation. I've been in the situation covering the NFL. When you cover a Monday night or a Sunday night game on the East Coast, those are the worst because now you got to wait till 8 o'clock.
Yeah,
it's just the day just drags on. And I'm sorry, but you get tired.
Yeah.
You get tired because there's not much you can do. Yeah. And if you're just laying around your hotel room, it's kind of mentally draining.
Oh, it is. It is. You can only sleep so much. I mean, I'm telling you, it's the worst. You know, night before a game, most teams usually stayed in a hotel.
Right.
And that was my experience when I played
the
night before a game. So you're in there Sunday. You know, you try to go through your routine. You push it back a little bit a day or so. You go through your new normal routine. And Sunday, you know, you're checking in a hotel. Sunday night, you're staying in a hotel. Then all day Monday, you know, before you head over to the stadium. So it's rough. It really is. It's a mental strain.
It is. You know, there's one good thing about it, I guess, is a lot of these players, even the young, you know, especially the young ones, came from big-time college programs.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're from Alabama, if you're from Clemson, you played those late Saturday night games in college where you did you did the same exact thing. So there's some level of those guys being accustomed to that. But, you know, it all boils down to how do you manage these next, you know, 72 or so hours? And then how do you manage the night before and the day of the game leading into it so that basically the goal being you're hitting on all cylinders at kickoff?
And see, that's the big point. That's the big key. The fact is that, you know, we looked at it like this. When you got your schedule, you wanted to see how many Monday night games you had, how many Thursday night games, how many Sunday night games, because you knew you were going to be prime time.
Yeah.
You're going to have all the audience watching you.
Right.
Everyone who watches football knows that during this time of year, Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night are the big ones.
Yep.
Those are the big fiascos. So you want to put your best foot forward.
Right.
You want to go out there and you want to be cracking. You want to be going. You want to be doing everything right because you want to showcase your talent. This is one of your preliminary bids for a Pro Bowl and All-Pro status.
Yeah, no doubt about
it. Out there.
And to change the narrative about the franchise, if you want the love, if you want the respect, we've been talking about that for a while now. Are the Raiders being overlooked? Are the Raiders being disrespected? Are people sleeping on the Raiders? Well, guess what? You've got a chance on Monday night, the stage of Monday Night Football. Everybody's watching to either show them why they've been wrong or validate what they've been predicting.
Exactly.
And honestly, at that point, it comes down to John Gruden, Derek Carr, and all, you know, all the players. But you make a good point about, you know, getting ready for the game and being ready to go at go time. Talk to so many coaches, not just in the NFL, but baseball managers, from the first pitch, being ready to get up there and perform.
Right.
Because games can be won and lost there, too.
Absolutely.
So being able to target yourself in a way that gets you emotionally and physically ready to start off from the kickoff, that's sometimes a challenge. And look, these guys haven't done it for a year now.
For a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the big thing is not being able or just trying to – I was surprised to see how they pushed themselves through the week off, Labor Day weekend.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Right.
Because football's happening around you. Watching in college on the TV, so you're excited about the possibility of when you get to start, but you're having to wait another week.
Exactly.
Now, on top of waiting another week, you have to wait an additional day at night. It becomes that much harder. You know what I mean?
No question about it. All right, some bad news, unfortunately, for the Baltimore Ravens. You hate to see this, but Marcus Peters goes down in practice today. It
Gus
didn't
Edwards.
Look good, and running back Gus Edwards. All the reports, I mean, I'm just going to say serious knee injuries.
Yeah.
It doesn't bode well for him. I hate it for Marcus. I know Marcus.
Yeah.
And I know, I mean, the Raiders, that's his hometown
Absolutely.
Team. But, man, it's just like, you know, if you're the Raiders and you hear that, you know, obviously it changes things a little bit. It changes the talent level that you're playing against. But you can't get caught up in who's playing, who's not playing. You just got to deal with whoever's in those jerseys, in those Baltimore Raven jerseys, and expecting and preparing for a team that's going to bring it just as much.
And this is what
like they always do.
Yeah, exactly. This is what we were talking about with preseason, kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah.
You had mentioned that, right? Now these guys get hurt in practice.
Yeah,
you can't. I mean, look,
non-contact.
You can't predict when these freak things are going to happen.
Right,
and you just have to have enough depth to move on. I mean, the Raiders are no. They've had their own experience with injuries over the past couple of years, right?
Oh yeah,
there has been many times. Matter of fact, before they made the trades, their linebacker room was decimated by injuries.
Mm-hmm.
So they know they haven't had their fair share of injuries that are meaningful. So you know, no, you're not going to feel sorry for them. The game must go on.
Yep.
The show will go on. And it's anyone's guess, you know, how the Ravens are going to do. But they come in already touted with a physical defense, a physical team. And it's still a big challenge for the Raiders.
Yeah. Interestingly, we spoke today to Andre James, the young center. Cool, sad, but cool backstory. You know, he lost his father to cancer in 2018 when he was at UCLA. It was like 5 days before he took the field in a game. And, you know, talking to Andre about how he brings his dad – introduced him to football, pushed
right.
him. You know,
he
was his role model, and got him into the sport. So for him to make his first NFL start, playing, you know, with the memory of his father, who he holds dear and near to his heart, got a little emotional when he was talking about it today. But you know, when we talk about managing emotions, here's a guy who's making his
yeah.
first career start.
Right.
Yes, he had a start a couple of years ago in relief of Rodney Hudson. But this is his position, this is his team, and here's a young player that is going to have to manage the culmination of a dream, being a starter in the NFL, with the task at hand, which is a difficult task against a great Baltimore Ravens defense.
What about the fact that Tom Cable, the offensive line coach, pushed for you?
Yeah, oh yeah, exactly.
Made mention, you know, got you in this position to finally have your chance to showcase your talent. You don't have to go anywhere else. You don't have to be a free agent, find another job. You've got a home here. You can make it yours. That belief and that you know, that confidence in the coaching staff behind him, I think, will aid him in his time out. And he'll be fine. He knows the things. He'll be fine.
Yeah, and I expect that as well. You know, everyone that I've talked to regarding Andre James, hard worker, smart, and has been learning in the lab of Tom Cable now mm-hmm. for the last couple of years. He's been and learning at the lab, really, mm-hmm. of Rodney Hudson, who has been his role model.
Certainly.
And his mentor.
Certainly.
You know, and if we let's talk about that dynamic. You know, Rodney Hudson probably had an understanding that at some point this young kid, Andre James, was going to be the guy that took his job eventually.
Right.
It's how it works in the NFL. I don't know if you were necessarily in that situation where your successor was on the roster developing behind you.
We were trying to.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It was Langston Walker, we were trying to develop him.
Right.
And I knew it. I told Al Davis, may he rest in peace. I said, look, I'm not going to be around. I'm leaving.
Right.
And I knew when my time was up, when I was going. And talking with Al, he's like, well, we drafted a kid out of Cal. I'd like you to try to make him like you.
Right.
And so that was my challenge.
Right.
You know, and that's what I had. But, yeah, look, it's a part of the game, Vinny. You can't play forever.
Right.
And only a fool will think that, oh, my job is secure. Nobody's job is secure.
No,
because
no.
if they could find someone who could do something as comparable, and maybe not even as well as you, but just as close and a lot cheaper, it's a business decision.
Right.
They're going to go with him. And, you know, and look, we all liked Rodney Hudson when he came over from Kansas City. He was an all-pro center. He took care of the offensive line. They had some good years. But they invested, as you talked about many times, so much money and resources in that offensive line. And you couldn't do it. Again, they asked him to restructure his contract, and he was like, look, I did it the year before.
Yeah.
It's time to move on, so we're going to move on without you. You know, Coach Cable believed in Andre James. So, I mean, that's business.
Keep it moving. Yeah, and you have to do it. And we've talked about this, Lincoln. It wasn't even just trying to create money under the salary cap, which that became that, but the salary cap also went down.
Yeah.
It went down. I don't know if people quite understand the difficulty in that happening because of COVID-19, because there weren't fans in the stands,
yeah.
It cut into revenue. Every salary cap, each year's salary cap is based on the revenue from
Certainly.
The year before. It gets split up about 50-50 between the owners and the players. So that was something that you had to take into account. And here's what's really tricky about that, Lincoln. When you're a general manager and you're a coach and you're the cap guy of a team and you're projecting forward, you're always projecting forward with the understanding that the cap every single year is going to go up.
Right.
So when you make a deal in 2018, you are taking 2021 into account, understanding, okay, by the time we get that contract to that year, the salary cap will be around here.
Right.
So you're making plans based on projecting what it's going to look like.
That's right.
And then for it to be $20 million below what that projection was,
right.
makes your world a lot more difficult.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And there's a lot of hard decisions that they're still going to have to make. They're going to have to figure out what they're going to do with Derek Carr after this season because the guaranteed money has already run out.
Yeah.
And you don't want to allow a quarterback of his caliber to hit the free agency market.
Yep.
Because then you're going to get in a bidding war and you're going to be called up like the Cowboys were with Dak Prescott.
Right.
Where they just had to give into his demands, no matter how high or ridiculous it was. And also on top of that, you've got three first-rounders that are coming up with that first-round option.
Yep.
That you have to be concerned with.
Cleve Farrell, absolutely. Jonathan Abrams, Josh Jacobs.
I mean, you're going to have to make some hard decisions there where you're going to go, if you're going to let them go. And the thing is that you understand the business side of it, that when you have a first rounder, even though they might not produce him, even though they might not be, you might give them that fourth year option to take up that for that fifth year, that's still a commodity that you can't get back.
Yeah.
So that first round, you don't want to miss on first rounders. Either you trade and get some value out of them when you have to, when you have to part ways, but you just don't want to let them go.
No.
And so by having those three first rounders come up at the same time, it puts you in a very precarious position business-wise that you have to manage.
Well, and I don't know if you saw this yesterday, but a guy by the name of Darren Waller, who's arguably the best player on this football team, and who's not being paid relative to what he produces, he accepted – or worked out a deal, I think it was going into the 2019 season, that was based on what he did in going into the 2020 season based on what he had done in 2019. So it was a nice payday for him.
Right.
But now, as we sit here in 2021, this is a guy who's, if he's not the second best tight end in the NFL, he's certainly the third.
Certainly.
And there's not that much that separates one to three in that world. He's hugely underpaid right now.
Right.
So anyway, long story short, he just recently signed with Clutch Sports, LeBron James's agency. Even though he has multiple years left on this contract, you have to wonder, what does that mean?
Well, we've seen it happen before when guys want new deals. You either have to conform or you have to give in or let them go.
Right.
You know, because now you get in a position where guys are holding out of training camp, and even though they're not playing in preseason, they're still not available for the regular season.
Right.
We saw the guys that were doing it with the Seahawks this year, Jamal Adams and I think it was Dwayne Brown.
Yeah.
They both went to training camp, but they didn't practice. They didn't play.
Right.
So they were around the team, but they weren't part of the team.
Right.
So I don't know if you want to play that type of game. But it's a hard business. And it's one of the reasons why I never envied the general manager position.
Yeah.
Because you have to find a way to juggle all that and make your team competitive.
Right.
That's why I've always said the window is so small.
Yes.
You got to hit it while the hitting's good and get it as much as you can. And the fact is that for the Raiders – and being in a very competitive division alone, as well as a schedule, as well as an additional game, as well as a really young team, there's a lot of intangibles that they have to overcome.
There are. I would imagine that everything works out with Darren Waller. The Raiders understand that.
Certainly.
You know, they're going to have to do right by him again. And, you know, I think last I checked, they were almost $50 million projected to be under the salary cap next year. So they're in good position. As far as all that goes, and I'm curious because when we talked to Darren Waller today, what's his season going to look like? And I don't know if him matching the numbers that he produced last year is necessarily good for the Raiders. I would almost think that him, the numbers coming down a little bit, but Henry Ruggs' numbers going up. Brian Edwards' numbers going up so that it balances it out a little bit more.
I see what you're saying. Here's the hard thing about being a quarterback, especially with a team this many weapons. There's only one football.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got Josh Jacobs where you've got a coach who typically likes to win the time of possession by running the ball, power running game, setting up the play action, being able to stretch the field, take shots at least once per quarter on average, something like that. So that's your offensive coach's philosophy. There's only one football. And so last year we saw plays that were directed for Ruggs. We saw plays that were directed, even when Edwards was in the game sparingly, try to get him the football. We know what we have in Darren Waller. And every defense we play from this year is going to know what we have in Darren Waller and going to try to take him away, whether it's a bracket or something. So that means somebody else is going to be open.
Right.
Whether it's Hunter Renfro or whomever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? With all these weapons that you have. But again, you've got a offensive minded coach who likes to run the ball before he likes to open it up. This is not Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, let me ask you something about that. Hold that thought, because this is what I've also been thinking. I do believe that some of what John Gruden's been doing recently is reflective of how he understands his defenses,
right,
the capabilities or weaknesses.
Right.
And I think some of his game planning, some of his play calling, kind of it tells you what he was thinking about the defense, like maintaining the ball, keeping the other offense on the other side. Yeah, you want to do that anyway. There's an element of that all the time. But I wonder if he starts figuring out and believing that the defense is better this year, if that's going to change some of his aggressiveness in how he calls plays, whereas in the past he wanted to keep the ball away from the other offense, i.e. not put his defense out on the field or try to avoid having his defense out on the field as much as possible, kind of coaching around that weakness to, hey, if I believe in this defense, I'm going to start taking more chances to score more points early and to just to be a more aggressive play caller.
Well, we do know this based on his history, and the history especially with him with Derek Carr, quarterback. 20-20, this has been one of the most efficient offenses in the National Football League.
Yes.
20-20.
Right.
Now, when they get into the red zone, they've struggled.
Right.
So
they have.
The reason why he went out and got Alex Leatherwood is because he said for short yardage and goal line situations, I want to be able to bang the ball in.
Yes.
You see what I mean?
Yep.
So I believe that wholeheartedly. To your point, once this defense shows that it can slow people down, once this defense shows that it can get stops, just like the mentality when you're playing against the Kansas City Chiefs, you're not going to beat them with field goals.
No. Right.
Much then you can have that aggressive nature. But you've got to see it firsthand. You've got to see it happen.
For sure.
You know what I mean? And you got and the thing is that you've got two – well, the Pittsburgh Steelers have changed over the last couple of years, but Baltimore Ravens typically in the past were a run-oriented first team.
Right.
Now, who knows what they're going to be now with the hurt that they have the running back. But the first two games out the back, hey, the first three games out the back, you've got power running teams.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. And I think that you're going to find out, and I tried to get John to talk about this earlier today. You know, teams like the Steelers, teams like the Baltimore Ravens, when they're on your schedule, you kind of circle those games because we're going to find out how tough we really are when you play those type of teams.
Yeah.
And I asked John, you know, about that, and he kind of looked at me and he was like, I don't question this team's toughness. I think he believes that he's got a team that's going to physically be able to stand up to some of these teams, but we're going to start seeing it on Monday night. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m. on a Thursday. We're out at the Angry Crab Shack. We got Raider fans here. Thank you guys for coming out. Truly appreciate it. This is Lincoln Kennedy's restaurant over here in Henderson. We've got all the televisions going on. There's a great bar. There's great food. Come join us. Watch the kickoff game tonight, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers against the Dallas Cowboys. Quick prediction, Lincoln.
Oh, Tampa Bay's going to skunk him.
Tampa Bay's going to skunk him, he says. All right. Okay. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila and Butter.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny and Lincoln on the Sam and Ash text line at 69187 or tweet them at Vinny Bonsignore and at LKennedy72. This is In the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Well, I don't question our guys' toughness. We got a tough team. We won some games last year and proved that. Certainly Baltimore is as strong and tough a football team as you will find. And we're more focused on our execution right now, our ability to recognize where the ball's going, where they're coming from. We had a great week of preparation, but we have a lot of respect for Baltimore, and I think they've earned that.
That's John Gruden talking about the challenges, sometimes the unique challenges, of playing a team like the Baltimore Ravens right off the bat. They've made a lot of changes, too, so what they're watching on film isn't exactly what they're going to see come Monday night, and that presents all sorts of different challenges, but that's the way of the world in the NFL, especially with so much changeover from one year to the next, except for the Super Bowl champion, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who came back pretty much 100% with at least their key players. Just a reminder, on Sunday at 5 p.m. over at the Rockstar Bar in Las Vegas, we're going to be hosting a party, kickoff the season party for Raider fans, NFL fans that are either traveling into town to watch the game on Monday night or here locally. We're going to be over at the Rockstar Bar starting at 5 o'clock. We've got Raiderhead is going to be performing for us. We've got the lead singer right here hanging out with us over at the Angry Crab Shack. So looking forward to that. We're giving away two tickets to the Raiders-Ravens game. So come on by, enjoy a lot of great music, food, drinks, the whole nine yards, and maybe walk away with a couple of tickets to the Monday night, the historic Monday night game, Raiders against the Ravens over at Allegiant Stadium. Hopefully you guys will join us. That's going to be our spot the day before every Raiders home game. We're going to go out to the Raider Nation listener line. Mitch is in New Jersey. How you doing, Mitch? All right. No, Mitch, Raider 27 is on the line. I know Raider 27 is there. How you doing, brother?
Hey, man, how you guys doing? Link, I've been looking for your jersey, man. It's like $400 for one of those things.
Oh, my goodness.
What?
I don't even believe it. Look, here's what you do. You just take a, custom-made, get a 72 jersey, and just put Kennedy on the back of it. Same thing, bro.
Yeah, that's what it costs.
Wow.
It's $369. I'll
that's
probably
crazy.
Buy it anyway.
That's crazy.
I just thought, if Link's got one laying around.
I played so long ago. Mine are cobwebs and dusty right now. Then the kids went through them, but wish I could help you.
So here's the thing. I've been watching a lot of 1999, 2000, 2001 lately. And John Gruden wants to do the same thing that he did then. He wants to be what the Raiders historically have been with Mark Van Egan and those guys, and they would just the team that won the game is the team whose players had the fewest concussions by the fourth quarter. I mean, it was a rough game back in those days, and John Gruden wants to physically challenge your manhood on every play of every game of the whole season. And I understand that last year he had to have 14, 15 play drives every time because he knew he couldn't put his defense on the field, especially against the Kansas Cities of the world, teams that could score quickly. So I get that. I almost wonder, and one thing you could comment on is, I wonder if that caused the problems at the end, because every drive our offense was on was a long drive. By the end of the season, man, I mean, we had half our offensive line didn't make a 53-man roster at the beginning of the year. So I think that played into it. But I think John Gruden he wants his team to out-physical the Baltimores and the Tennessees and the Steelers. And I think we're getting close to that. I think we're getting to the point where we're going to be able to do that. I think the idea behind the young offensive line was we needed younger, bigger, stronger guys to do what we wanted to do. So hopefully our defense is going to play better. I don't know. We've never seen our starting defense. But, man, I tell you what, we better come out fast or it's going to be a long year. But I think we're going to do better than any of the pundits say. You know, I can't believe some people have us winning four games. Did they pay any attention to what we did in the offseason?
Yeah, that's to me. Thanks for the call, Raider 27, as usual. I don't know because, you know, we were talking to Yannick Ngakoue earlier today, and I was saying to him, you, Max Crosby, Cleve Farrell, Quinton Jefferson, Solomon Thomas, Gerald McCoy, Darius Filon, Carl Nassib, now Malcolm Kuntz, the young defensive end from University of Buffalo. That's a lot of guys, and a bunch of those guys who are proven players, Lincoln. I know Malcolm isn't, but when you talk about Quinton Jefferson, when you talk about Gerald McCoy, when you talk about Yannick Ngakoue, those guys have done it before and at a pretty darn high level. And so, I don't know. It feels like some people aren't taking that into account, Lincoln.
You gotta sort of follow the pattern that has been set. Every offseason that this administration has been around, coaches, staff, and general manager have been around, have addressed their needs.
Right.
Either through the draft, free agency, a combination of both. We saw 2 years ago what they did when they needed wide receivers.
Yeah.
They drafted Henry Ruggs III.
Right.
They drafted Brian Edwards. They drafted the other kid who they traded.
Lynn Bowden.
And then you saw last year, attention to defense in the secondary.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So we've seen that. And they went out and they were active very early in free agency for defensive ends that can rush.
Right.
Because they knew they had to get a pass rush.
And inside, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And remind me, how many sacks did we have collectively as a team? It was like almost close to the bottom, right?
It was the third worst. I want to say 21
okay.
sacks. So 14 on the defensive
so
line.
So addressing a need to be able to pressure the quarterback. interior and exterior. The main reason why you go after someone like Ngakoue, because he can get an upfield presence alone to help with Max Crosby and Cleveland Farrell, but you also have those defensive tackles that can push the pocket, push the point, because most quarterbacks scramble forward rather than around, trying to run around the horn. So addressing a need, an overall need, and seeing how it's going to come together, now you got to make it work.
You do.
Now you got to go out there and show. And again, a lot of the pundits that people are referring to, the reason why they have the Raiders ranked as low is because they don't know what they're going off of. They didn't see anything in preseason.
No doubt about it.
You didn't see Crosby rush the quarterback. You know what I mean? You didn't see the guys out there and on the inside getting pressure. You didn't see all those. So it's a level of unknown, but it's nothing new. If you're Gruden, you're going to take that chance because now the lights come on and it's for real. You got your guys available.
What I look at is, we just talked about the defensive line had 14 sacks last year. That's horrible, no doubt about it. But when I look at Max Crosby and I look at Yannick Ngakoue, both of those guys are capable of getting 10 sacks each. They've done it before.
Yeah.
So that's 20 sacks right there that it's not out of the realm. It's not like, oh, it's crazy talk, Lincoln, right, for you to say that. And then when you add in, you know, Gerald McCoy can get 4 or 5. Right. Quentin Jefferson usually gets about 3 per year. Solomon Thomas is going to get 2 or 3.
Well, just
a
make
year.
The ball, make the quarterback get rid of the ball quicker.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a realistic path to 35 to 40 sacks this year for the team,
right?
Like just by guys doing what they're capable of doing, not hope, not, you know, and not saying, well, we're going to need you to get 5 more sacks than you normally do, and you're going to need to get 3 more sacks than you normally do. If guys just do what they normally do, it's easy to see 35 to 40 sacks on this team. We'll see if it happens, but I don't see any reason why, short of health, why that shouldn't happen. We're going to go back out to the Raider Nation listener line. Tim from the Bay is on the line. How you doing, Tim?
How's it going, man? Love the show, guys. Vinny, I saw the tweets on the injury report. I'm not too worried, but I don't know if Richie's going to be a go, and it kind of concerns me a little bit. So, you know, Lincoln, how do you feel about Simpson? I mean, Richie's getting up there, man. I don't know, you know, what we're going to see from him this season or if he's going to be like this all year. I mean, this might be it for him. And you can only, like you said, players don't play forever, right?
Right, right.
So,
right.
Do you have confidence in Simpson? And my other question is, you know, that toe injury Josh Jacobs is going through, man, I get a lot of flashbacks from previous Raider toe injuries, you know, with McFadden, Cooper. Mm-hmm. Turf toe is a legitimate thing, mm-hmm. and it seems like every year Jacobs is playing with some injury. I'm happy we got Kenyon Drake now. It's going to pay dividends now. So I just hope that he's not going to have a lingering injury because it seems to be kind of a trend for Josh Jacobs. He's a great player, but, man, I think he needs to take less hits this year. I think he's a little too aggressive. That's what we love about him, obviously, but he has to think about the longevity of his career. And that's all I got, guys. Great show.
I appreciate the call. Well, I'm hoping for his sake that it's not turf toe.
Right.
I haven't heard that. I'll look into it a little bit more. But he looked okay today. Mm-hmm. He was out there practicing, so had missed a couple of days earlier in the week. I think a lot of that more had to do with the fact that they wanted to get Peyton Barber activated, mm-hmm. and, you know, acclimated with the offense. So you know, we'll see where it goes, but it does illustrate why the Kenyon Drake signing
certainly
was shrewd. And I know at the time people were kind of scratching their heads, how can you give a running back that much money? It wasn't all that much money, number one, but you know, when you have a guy like Josh Jacobs,
right.
Well, just look, Lincoln, at the history of Josh Jacobs.
Yeah.
He hasn't been able to get through seasons yet.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, and that's why it was important to have running back by committee.
Right.
You're not going to change his stripes the way he does things. You're not
right.
going to ask him, you know, well, I don't want you to get hit as much, so let's pull back. You're not going to do that. And you're not going to pull the reins. You're going to let him be him, but you're also going to be smart about it. Similar to what they were doing last year with the two, you know, sort of two-headed attack at times. I think that's what Kenyon Drake proves valuable. And then you have a little bit of a change-up. So, but, you know, the question about John Simpson that stands out is that, you know, last year I was very critical of him because he could not stand up to the bull rush.
Right.
And you had mentioned to me in one of our talks that he was in the weight room all year. He's
yes.
changed his body physically.
Yep.
I saw flashes out of it in preseason. I don't know how much you can hold that to value because he's playing against guys that are probably on a lot of
right,
rosters.
Right.
But still, he was out there. So,
yeah.
I, you know, The reason why the Raiders did what they did with Gabe Jackson is because they believe in Denzel Good, mm-hmm. and they got another year out of Richie Incognito, another right. time to develop John Simpson and everyone else in the interior part of that offensive line that they want to develop, giving them time, and they're a lot cheaper
yeah.
than it would have been with Gabe Jackson. So, you know, you're just going to have to roll the dice and see what you have. But I do believe, and on paper, in the pattern that I've seen before, Denzel Good is a road grader. Alex Leatherwood is a road grader. That's your right side, along with Andre James. And whether you use a fullback or not, or you want to go one back, you can still run to the right successfully,
yeah.
especially out of 12 and 13 personnel, which we know they like to do,
right,
which
right.
opens up play action. So these are all combinations that work in the Raiders' favor. That's why I have more confidence in the offense,
yeah.
because I know what they're capable of, and I've seen what they're capable of, than saying we're going to just, you know, with the defense. I'm certainly hopeful that Gus Bradley's system, they take it, they embrace it, they absorb it, and they all are able to implicate it because I think it's a good defensive strategy, and it brings a lot of pressure to quarterbacks, especially in this day and age.
Yeah, it does. And as far as Richie Incognito goes, I don't think I'd be shocked if he played
right.
on Monday night. I think right now he knows what he needs to yeah. do. So, is practice important? Obviously, practice is important. But for somebody like Richie Incognito, I think just getting him right physically and putting him in the best possible position physically for Monday night is the key more than him getting out on the field during practice. However, I will say this too, Lincoln. Last year, the Raiders got two games out of Richie Incognito,
right.
and I think it hurt them big time. You know, they missed Richie Incognito. He's one of the best guards in the NFL yeah. when he's healthy. So I think that conversely, yeah, you want him out there on Monday night, but they need him for the balance of the season. Yeah. So if
another guy they're going to have to manage.
Right, exactly. So you might want to, you know, maybe sit him out this game to enhance his ability to play longer this year, because I think they're going to need it for the for him to play the balance of the season. However, this is professional football. If the doctor says, "Look, if you go out there, you're not in any danger of injuring it even more," or whatever that the case is, Richie Incognito will be out there, if that's the case. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Vinny Bonsignor and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. We're out at Lincoln Kennedy's restaurant here in Henderson, Nevada, the Angry Crab Shack. Come on by. It's a beautiful setting. We've got some outdoor, indoor dynamics going on. We got the TVs. We're going to be watching the game tonight. Great food, great drinks. Come join us at the Angry Crab Shack here in Henderson. Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m. on a Thursday.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny and Lincoln on the Sam and Ash text line at 69187 or tweet them at Vinny Bonsignor and at LKennedy72. This is In the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor and Lincoln Kennedy on Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m.
Yeah, it's nice, I think it's nicer for those other guys, you know, when they play alongside Darren Waller, you know, when it's third down, they play on the opposite side of Hunter Renfrow, you know, all those things, you know, they get one-on-ones, and teams, they'll try and double them and then put their best corners on the guys they're not doubling and doing things like that, you know, so there's a chess game that goes along with it, but you always want more, more weapons, you know, anybody, you know, even at the quarterback position, having Marcus, you know, being able to run with him, and, you know, we can run the wing T if we have to, you know. You know, it's nice to have, you know, just multiple on offense as well.
Lincoln Kennedy, that was Derek Carr, and he brought up the possibility of Marcus Mariota playing. Pretty much said, you know, hey, we could do whatever we want to do. We got guys that have various different skill sets. If we want to run the triple option, we can run the triple option. By the way, you're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. We're out at the beautiful Angry Crab Shack restaurant, which is Lincoln Kennedy's restaurant. If you want to give out the address.
4250 East Sunset Road in Henderson.
Here in Henderson. Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m. on a Thursday. And Lincoln, you know, it just seems to me like Derek is okay with the fact that there might be some packages in place for Marcus Mariota this year.
I would think right now that you throw all the caution that you possibly have about any scenario, anything type of variable, to the win, because you want to win.
Yeah.
You want to win right now. Okay? You've got the extra game for the season, and you have a team that is capable of being that is capable of getting into the playoffs and should be challenging for more. Again, in a very competitive AFC.
Right.
With a very competitive schedule, which means this Ravens and this Steelers game becomes that much more important, yep. And even a Cleveland game in Indianapolis for the tiebreakers when you come to playoff positioning and everything else.
Yep.
And where you play places.
Yeah.
I do believe Allegiant Stadium is going to be a true home field advantage mm-hmm. by the Raider Nation. So look, when you pass on that message, you want to throw all the caution to the wind. Everything is a possibility because now you want to win. And you want to keep defenses on your heel, on their heels.
Right. Well, and the other part of that is even if they don't use Marcus situationally, which I think they are going to, but if they don't, just the mere fact that you're talking about it, if Derek Carr stands up in at that podium talking to us about it,
right.
Guess what? The defensive coordinator of the Baltimore Ravens is like, So they've got to take about 10, 15 minutes away from practice each day or devote 10 to 15 minutes of practice each day to that possibility. And maybe that's taking them away from other things that they need to focus on. So it's something, it's planting a seed at the very least.
I agree. And I also think that if you're John Gruden, you go back to that San Francisco game in preseason and look what they did with Garoppolo and Trey Lance.
Yeah.
As an option.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Because I think someone like Mariota can come in key, like in short yardage and red zone situations from the 10 in, because he has that option
right.
to run.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying? In that triple, you can do that triple option. Because that's what the 49ers did with Trey Lance. It was a triple option.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they were doing from the gun position. You have that ability. You have within able to do it. So, I mean, there are all lots of things to think about and push ahead.
We've talked about this before, Lincoln, about, you know, how would Derek digest it. Every quarterback wants to be on the field 100% of the time.
Absolutely.
And but I think him talking about it in terms of him looking forward to it, he's even talked about maybe catching a touchdown pass
right.
this year. So I think that whatever conversation John Gruden might have had to have with him, wrapping his arms around the idea he had to do, it sounds like he has. And if he has, which I believe he has, that just makes it a very healthy situation moving forward. So you don't have to worry about how's my quarterback feeling right. because I took him off the field, you know, on 3rd and 2 at the 5-yard line.
Well, it's going to be different because we haven't seen it done before.
Right.
With Derek. And, I mean, when Derek was healthy, you know what I'm saying? When
yeah.
he was injured, it was obviously an obvious choice. But when he was healthy, we haven't seen it done before. So, yes, you're planting the seed of option. But, you know, I'm a little bit more pessimistic than that. You got to show me.
Of course. Of course. It's funny. Well, when you mentioned Trey Lance, that's who Marcus Mariota was 5 years
yes.
ago.
Yes. No doubt. No, absolutely no doubt. And you also know how high Gruden and Mayock were on him.
Yeah.
When he came out of Oregon.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, him being the first overall pick in the draft and stuff like that.
Second,
I'm sorry. The second pick in the draft,
you know,
was an instance where, you know, there were a lot of people who were high on him.
Right.
Held him in high regard. Figured that, you know, Tennessee wasn't right for him. He gave him a fresh start. You talked about his health issues even when he came over.
Yeah.
Or lack of health.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And when he came over, and now you've developed or you have something potentially in your back pocket that you saw in the Charger game, flash how he erupted
exactly.
the offense and
exactly.
was able to do things, you know, just looking for a chance.
Yep, absolutely. On the other hand, and talking to Derek Carr about this today as well, is the fact that, you know, John Gruden and the Raiders, like a lot of teams now, went down the path of the starters, the key players,
yeah.
not going to play in the preseason.
Right.
It's about the regular season. It's right. a 17-game schedule. It's so important to have your best players available. So why risk them in the preseason? Some other coaches have a different philosophy about that. I tend to agree with John Gruden. We've seen all these injuries already this year. I just feel like get what you can get in practice. Have some joint practices if you need that, which I think is really valuable. I don't need to see the starters out there
right.
during preseason. I just don't. I think the risk outweighs the reward, but what it does do is it leaves a little curiosity about where this offense is, this offensive line, and that defense is in
right.
terms of the chemistry, and are they going to be able to step on the field at Allegiant Stadium on Monday night, hitting on all cylinders, and here's Derek Carr talking about that.
Hopefully from the beginning, you know. I feel like the way that we practice and practicing against other teams and then looking at the way that we practice, it's as close to game-like as it can get, you know. And, you know, preseason games, I mean, yeah, they're live tackling, but that no one really shows much, you know. It's not really schemed up, you know. It's not really, you know, you're not really getting the best versions of what they're what they would really do. You know what I mean? And so that's why I always felt that those the joint practices, those are like gold. You know, so when we had that with the Rams, I felt like those reps for us were like kind of like our preseason. You know, now they can't tackle me, even though I went to the ground a few times. You know, it's one of those things where it's not live bullets, but it's as close as it gets because everyone's competing. Like, okay, someone's in town, we're gonna go. So I feel like we got so much out of that, and it's practice, so they'll show more. You know what I mean? They're not hiding stuff from the all eyes to see. So I think that hopefully we'll be able to go, but we got to go do it.
You know, I was there in Thousand Oaks, and that was pretty. It was competitive. I'm just gonna say. And I heard we got great access during that week in practice, so you can hear what was going on and the trash talk that was going on and the intensity and the excitement. And it was as close to a game as it possibly Certainly. Could. And there was no doubt that both teams came into those practices trying to show a little something, like prove a point, whatever. It was competition, and you love to see that. So thinking back about a month ago or however long ago it was pretty funny to see how those guys reacted. And, again, it really was just a practice, but they didn't approach it like just a practice.
In my experience, when you've had those instances of joint practices against other teams, for example, when you did things like one-on-one, three-on-three, nine-on-seven, those guys don't want to be pushed around.
No.
We want to show that we can push them around on offense. You see what I'm saying? That's where the competition level comes in. In preseason games, there were times where you go out there and I would go to Strahan like or whatever, hey, we're going to Brother Law, just get this, get through this thing.
Right.
That's understood. That's different, okay? But in practice, they want to look good and we want to look good. That's why a lot of times you have so many fights. You have that level of competition that picks up and you know, people get a little ignorant and stupid out there. But it's still and I think that's the wave of the future. I think more teams are going to go to that rather than put an emphasis on preseason, because I think that, you know, Gruden showed his hand, you know, this year, not playing his starters the entire preseason. I think that's going to be a way of the world from now on.
What you didn't have during your time was reporters tweeting what was going on. And, you know, everyone remembers that Hunter Renfrow had a tremendous day on, I think it was the Wednesday of those two practices against Jalen Ramsey.
Right.
They were matched up. You know, I just kind of watched it and tweet about it because I don't know what the scheme is being called on the other side. I don't know, you know, so I'm not presumptuous to know to think that I know everything. So, but there were other reporters who were tweeting away that Hunter Renfrow was just grilling and drilling and smoking Jalen Ramsey, and it got out there, and everybody was talking about it. The next day, I'm standing outside the Rams practice facility, and who comes walking into work is Jalen Ramsey.
Okay.
And he just gives me and I know Jalen because I covered him, and he gives me the dirtiest look. Like, and I'm thinking to myself, I didn't tweet anything. Like, I'm the face of it because I just happened to be here, and you saw me, the reporter.
Right.
So I had to kind of laugh about it. But you didn't have that. And that jacks up the competition level even more because
– because you got so many guys who are reading on press or reading the social media. I mean, that does spark up. But, again, I think that's the reason why, you know, these joint practices are going to become more of the stable.
Right.
Because at least you know as a coach – what you're going to get out.
Yeah.
You can script scenarios.
Right.
Okay, we're first down on 20, starting the red zone. We're going to call 10 plays. You call 10 plays. How are you going to stop us?
Right.
You can see how you're going to play. But you'll have those instances where that one-on-one competition is going to come out. He's not going to get the best of me. I'm going to try to get the best of him, vice versa.
And that's what that's how you get better anyway.
Absolutely.
You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. We're here at Lincoln's restaurant, the Angry Crab Shack, over here in Henderson. One more time on the address.
4250 East Sunset Road in Henderson.
So if you're nearby, come on by. We got the big screen TVs. We got the game coming on, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Got good food.
We've got great food. There's a great bar. We're on the outside section of it. There's an outside inside dynamic. I can just imagine what this place looks like in October.
Oh, yeah.
You know, on a Monday night or so.
You know where I'll be. I'll be down right there with my little nook smoking my cigars.
There you go. There you go. I look forward to seeing that. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila Embajador, Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM. And when we come back, Raiders President Dan Ventrelli is going to join us and walk us through some of the protocols to expect on Monday night. There's obviously some changes. We're dealing with the curveball that is COVID-19, and we want to get everybody in the stadium out of the stadium as quickly, seamlessly, and as efficiently as possible. And part of that challenge is everybody kind of doing their part and knowing what is expected and what's needed on Monday so that it can make for the greatest night ever here in Las Vegas over at Allegiant Stadium. So stay tuned for that. Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the Beyond Nicotine experience with its Beyond Tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, Beyond Tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.